five, four, three, two.
Welcome everybody back into the Radcast. This is Steven here at the top of what you can see is a re-release of one of our older Sucktastic Cinema shows. Sorry, no new episode last week, and this week, no new episode. However, again, we decided to go with another re-release, dig into our archives of Sucktastic Cinema, and pulled out one of our favorites. I know we say that with all the re-releases, but honestly, Sucktastic Cinema, whenever Matt and I go back and listen to those episodes, we really just, there's nearly a one that we don't really like or find something really great about it. So we were really proud of that show, and we're always proud to reshare either with those of you who were with us with Sucktastic or those of you who just found us with the Radcast. We're always proud to share those shows, and it's no different this week. And in honor of the dog days of summer coming up and the baseball season in full swing, we are re-releasing our episode of Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch. And one thing I'd like to make note of, as I listened back to the episode this last week, I would like to make a correction. I think we make the correction in the episode, but it's not till much later than we should have made this correction. We, a few times, refer to the second Air Bud movie as Golden Retriever. Mainly, I am referring to it as that. It is Air Bud Golden Receiver, the one where he plays football. That is the name. So please forgive the mistake for all of you Air Bud Universe fans. Air Bud Golden Receiver was the second Air Bud movie. So I just like to get out in front of that and get this re-release started. So without further ado,
and now for our feature presentation.
Air Bud Seventh Inning Fetch was released June 18th, 2002, so not long after before on VHS, the famed Max Keeble's big move.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Directed by Robert Vince, starring Caitlin Wax or Watch?
Wax.
Wax? Is it Wax?
Yeah, I went on, because I was seeing what else she was in.
Yeah.
I looked at her trivia.
My Dog Skip.
She's also in The Family Affair with the new version in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and I went
with Mr. French.
Yeah, with Tim Curry as Mr. French.
Mm-hmm. Who's Mr. French?
But in the inner trivia, it says that it's pronounced like Wax.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. So Caitlin Wax as Andrea Fram, Cynthia Stevenson as Jackie, who I always contended Cynthia Stevenson was Canada's answer to Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, Good Times, Bad Movies podcast. Let us know if that's correct. Yeah,
because she sounds like Jennifer Aniston. Oh, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing, sweetheart?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She said that
she always has this look on her face like, what's going on?
You really want to do that?
Yeah. She always plays the token. She always plays like a mom or a teacher,
right,
or like a school administrator, yeah, or something.
I always liked Cynthia Stevenson. We watched several movies that she was in growing up.
There's like an interesting warmth to her.
Yeah. Another warmth from a person, Richard Karn.
Al Borland.
As Patrick, Andrea and her brother Josh's stepdad, who was played by a different guy.
Golden Retriever.
The Air Bud movies has an interesting timeline of casting.
Yes.
So the first Air Bud, the person playing Jackie Fram at the time,
Wendy McKenna.
Was Wendy McKenna?
Yeah, from Camp Nowhere.
That's right. Okay,
yeah.
I would get her mixed
and
up.
And other things.
I would get her mixed up with, what's her face from Willow and The Man Who Knew Too Little. She's married to Val Kilmer.
Shit. Keep going.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you'll bring it up. I would get them mixed up. But Wendy McKenna played Jackie Fram. And then in Golden Retriever, it was Cynthia Stevenson playing Jackie. And I think it was Cynthia Stevenson, yeah, and then a different person. Yeah. And then so Cynthia Stevenson was playing the mom in Golden Retriever, to which I think that's where she met the character Patrick, who Richard Karn yeah. ended
Joanne
up
Whaley.
Joanne Whaley, yeah. yeah. So she met you know, Richard Karn's character Patrick, who was played by a different guy, yeah. and then in World Pup, they got married at the beginning of World Pup, and it was a different woman.
Yeah.
And then now it's back to Cynthia Stevenson, but it's a different Patrick.
Yeah.
To which Caitlin Wax.
Yeah.
Is in
World Pup.
World Pup as Andrea.
Sounds so stupid.
We watched it, though.
The Air Bud universe.
Well, because he helped them. Didn't he help them, the women's U.S. soccer team, win the World Cup, even though he's a male dog?
Yes. Oh man, yeah.
Didn't he play goalie in favor of Brianna Scurry? Like, because Brianna Scurry got hurt,
and then yes,
Buddy came in as goalie.
I think so.
I've only seen it once.
We'll have to watch it again.
Yeah, you go check it out, everybody.
Air Bud, a cinematic universe.
Yeah. But Richard Karn,
yes,
plays Patrick, and Richard Karn is always a welcome presence,
mm-hmm.
Unless we hear that he's a scumbag and bangs hookers and stuff like that. Then screw you, Richard Karn. But until that day,
I haven't heard that yet.
Until that day, Richard Karn is a nice, wholesome guy.
And the internet is rife with that kind of information.
Yes. Molly Hagan as Coach Crenshaw. She also played the nun.
Sister Roberta
in the Kevorka episode of Seinfeld.
Hey, look at what Sister Roberta gave me. It's a slinky woo, woo, woo.
She's
in love with Kramer.
Yeah. The Latvian Orthodox
yeah.
episode. She's Coach Crenshaw. Chantel Strand is Tammy, who also the same person played Tammy
in World Pup.
Yeah. So there's some consistency there. Frank C. Turner is one of the bad guys. Carlton. Jay Brazeau as Professor Siles.
Oh, the great Brazeau.
Exactly. Up to this point, I think he'd been in every Air Bud as a ref.
Yeah, just as like a referee. Yeah. I guess he got tired of their shit.
He had it. If anybody knows Buddy better than the Frams.
Exactly. If anyone who knows Buddy and all these other dogs, it's him. He's like, oh, shit. I think there's money in this.
Mm-hmm. So he plays Professor Siles, another one of the bad guys. And Kevin Seegers, who was Josh in the first three
yeah.
movies.
Is it Seegers or Seegers?
Seegers.
Yeah.
Bob Seegers in
yeah.
this movie.
Yeah. Bob Seger was basically in Ed. One of his songs
yeah, exactly.
was.
Exactly. But he's back as Josh. He's in the movie briefly.
Yeah, because he's going to college.
Yes, but he deserves a mention because he yeah. carried the other three movies. Mm-hmm. No box office because this was our favorite kind of movie,
straight to video. Mm.
And we missed it with Ready to Rumble, but our segment, what was on the VHS open?
What was on the VHS of Ready to Rumble?
I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Mm.
And I'm kicking myself. I didn't think to look it up because I think Jeff would have enjoyed that too.
I think so,
as well as Jeremy did for the Flintstones.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Flintstones, which only had the Little Rascals, this has a 7-minute open because of all the things that you can...
Now to own on DVD.
Yeah, things coming to theaters. So coming to theaters, Spy Kids 2...
I liked
Island
Spy
of Lost
Kids
Dreams.
Too.
I liked it as a kid.
As a kid, right.
We saw it in the theaters in Nashville.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
That was like the dawn of DVDs. So like just yeah. the fact of having special features, like mm-hmm. behind the scenes features.
Yeah, we watched those special features a lot.
Yeah.
On that DVD. Coming soon to own The Rookie, which Max
Again,
Keeble had
yeah.
The Rookie on there.
It's kind of a boring movie.
It is a boring movie. Around this time, there was Mickey Mouse, The House of Mouse on Disney Channel. But this is a advertisement for a VHS DVD of The House of Villains, which
I'm familiar.
An event where all the great Disney villains take over Mickey's nightclub.
Isn't there, there's like a Halloween compilation on YouTube or something to where that's on there?
I think because not to divert too much away
sure,
from this
yeah.
is a Disney and Dimension Films
yeah.
thing. So there's Disney and Dimension Films.
And that's why there's Spy
here.
Kids because Spy
yeah.
Kids is Dimension.
But yeah, all throughout the 60s and into the 70s, or the late 60s into the 70s, the Disney Channel
yeah.
would thread together, you know, eerie and spooky type clips, but
yeah.
all threaded together with like some sort of like interlude or cutaway segment of like Jonathan Winters or the Great Mirror or whatever. And they did that all through the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they tried to do it in the, or I think they replaced it in the 2000s with just straight up like, original stuff involving the villains.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just know the stuff from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So House of Villains, mm-hmm. Now available to own. Max Keeble's big move.
Ah, yes.
Go back to listen to our episode on that. That was a blast. An advertisement of a song and dance number for the new Toon Disney.
Hey.
And then finally, stay tuned after the movie for a making of featurette.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, you can probably find it on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. No, I want to get the VHS.
Okay, well,
so I can fast forward the whole movie just to get to it.
I'm sure you can find it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So the movie opens on a beautiful day in Fernfield, which if you've seen the other Air Bud movies, you're familiar with Fernfield is their place of residence.
It's weird. Like the straight to video, anything has mm-hmm. a certain look to it.
Yeah,
And it's with this one, like World Pup. And this one, I'm pretty sure we're both straight to video.
I think so.
But like Golden Retriever
and the first
Air Bud were theatrical releases. And there's like there's a visual difference.
Yeah.
Should we say?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like the aesthetic to a straight to video.
Yeah.
It's like you're just gearing up to start making fun of stuff.
It's quaint. Much like Fernfield, a quaint small town that apparently has no black people.
Yeah, which I was gonna say.
Now that I think about it,
it's a town stuck in time.
Yeah. So it opens on a beautiful day in Fernfield, which is quickly interrupted by an RV pulling into a trailer park with local yokels loafing around.
Which nothing alarming so far.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, no hate on trailer parks.
No,
they look a double wide trailer looks perfectly comfortable.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah.
Except for the tornadoes and stuff.
Yes, and the local yokels.
Yeah, tornadoes seek that kind of stuff out.
Yeah.
They'll skip towns just to get to the trailer parks.
While you're barbecuing your roadkill on cinder blocks and a steel grate.
Again, not bashing on trailer parks.
Not bashing trailer park folks.
Yeah,
Says
they're dirty trailer tra- I'm totally kidding.
But two evil scientists set up camp in the park. Professor Siles, accompanied by his assistant Carlton, talk about how the professor wants to capture all of the athletic golden retrievers around town, which are Shooter, Zach, Striker, Duke, and the Bud.
All of Air Bud's kids.
Yes, and extract the super athlete gene from them and distribute it. I don't know.
Yeah,
God knows he wants to sell it
to human athletes.
Yeah.
So it's like, but you're extracting it from dogs.
Right.
Which... these dogs are fully grown dogs,
mm-hmm.
and they're Air Buddies. They're puppies, but Air Buddies comes out after this. I've never seen Air Buddies, and I have no intention to. But in World Pup, Air Bud gets his freak on.
Right.
So in between then, I don't think the dogs would be fully grown golden retrievers, which, well,
dogs age differently.
Yeah.
There's 3 years between World Pup and this.
But you would think extracting something from a dog and giving it to a human would have some sort of weird effect.
Well, people may not know the difference because athletes will tend to piss wherever they want and hump anything that moves anyway.
This is very true.
Nobody even would know. No one would be the wiser.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of tension there, and we're quickly introduced to the villains, but we go to people we are familiar with, at least in name only.
Yeah. Air Bud.
Yeah, the Air Bud. We now go to a raucous day in the park honoring Buddy and his children. These dogs seem to bring the community together.
Is it a going away party?
It's just a family reunion of all the dogs. Why would the whole community come together just to wish Josh Fran
well,
off?
Well, Josh and Josh's friend is there.
Yeah, it's like a family reunion picnic.
Oh, but they all live in the same town.
They probably do this like once a month to where all the dogs, Buddy gets together with his kids and the owners.
I went this whole time thinking that this was like a college, like going away party for all the seniors in the town.
No.
Because you see Josh's friend who's also in the previous movies.
But I mean, it's probably just a community event to where they all celebrate the Air Buds.
Either way, you see all of them there.
They're institutions in this town.
They each excel at different sports.
They might as well have a statue. You to them. Anywho, we get a sequence of scenes showing us reoccurring side characters throughout the movie, as well as the main characters who are recognizable from the previous Air Bud flicks, like we said, including Josh and Andrea, their parents, and Andrea's friend Tammy. There's no mention of the pup's mom, though, because apparently Air Bud and World Pup just found some bitch. because that's the right term. Hit it and quit it, and now he's estranged from all his kids, except for these month-long things.
The British girl had a dog, and that's who he did it with.
Yeah, and then she took the dog away.
Oh, so you're saying Air Bud cheated on the British dog?
No. Oh, these are all the British dog's dogs.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were implying that he just found a random dog on the side of the road.
No, that's not the British. It found some English bitch, female dog, and hit it and quit it. Now he's estranged from all his kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, the English girl's dog.
Yeah, okay. I thought you were saying he just found some bitch, as in he was just walking down the street. And he's like, oh, hell yeah. Where's that damn dog? Bow, wow, wow.
Yeah, Joe Dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've never seen World Pup, you don't know British girl.
You don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Some dog bitch.
Some British bitch. What are you talking about?
We're talking about the dog when we say... Being goofy. I would never call a woman a bitch. Instead of being a father, Buddy has abandoned his children in favor of being a local celebrity, which they're all local celebrities shoving in his face anyway. So
when he walks down the street and they're like, oh, hey, Buddy, or whatever. And granted, it's a dog, whatever.
His,
but like,
kids don't come up to say hi.
Yeah. The dog, he doesn't get in on their soccer games and their basketball games. And
he gets he gets kind of in on some of the games.
Yeah. But when, I don't know, I'm applying human logic to a dog.
Yeah, dogs that play sports.
Yeah, but yeah, he is estranged from his kids. He doesn't run around the town visiting them and all that stuff.
Buddy is not to be celebrated.
No, he
should. Yes, he should. I love Buddy. I love you, Buddy the dog. The Fram fam gather for a lunch at a picnic table, but not before we see Andrea and Tammy, who... Andrea? I keep saying Andrea. Andrea and Tammy, who will helm the movie now, are talking to two random toddlers about how they can't keep babysitting them and changing their diapers because they're going to junior high and wouldn't be caught dead hanging out with poopy babies.
Yeah.
The two talk about how cool junior high is going to be, and the two children aren't given any stage direction on how to react, so they stand there confused.
Yeah, which is realistic because all of what they're saying means nothing to 2 4-year-olds.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the little girl who actually spoke lines were dubbed in by a man doing a baby voice. like Howie Mandel.
Then Bobby's World.
Yeah. Or Dave Coulier.
God. But, yeah.
Two boobs.
Yeah, because they're like... It's like, I don't know, we may be too busy. It's like, you're going to high school? It's like, junior high. It's like, yeah, we're going to be junior high. And they're saying, like, we're going to be so cool. Our lives are going to change.
Just like Max Keeble.
Yeah, exactly. And they get a shot of the two kids are just like, okay. This means nothing to them.
You should just say no and move on.
They don't understand the importance of social status at that age.
Yes, children don't understand nuance. So just say yes or no.
Yeah.
at least children that age.
Yeah.
Soon the family start their meal, and it is quickly seen one of the points of tension that will be prevalent throughout the movie, that Andrea is the classic middle child,
mm-hmm.
receiving very little attention from the family, who are gushing over their little baby brother Noah and asking Josh questions about his upcoming trip to college. Richard Karn then calls out to all the other buddy dogs after a little bit of lunch. Richard Karn calls out to all the other buddy dogs, mm-hmm. and they run him over for the pleasure of all the children and Tool Time haters in the audience.
he's leftovers! And like every time I watch it, I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if the camera pans over and there are like 6 families who haven't eaten yet?
Yeah, because there are a ton of families there, and I think it's just to be assumed they have their own lunch plans.
Yeah, because Richard Karn is like, well, that was good. Everyone else okay, Fram Fam? Okay, well, leftovers, which, hold on.
Sorry.
His last name is Fram.
His last name isn't. Is it Fram?
Well, on Air Buddies it is, because he's in Air Buddies as well.
But he's not Fram.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
I took their last name.
Because, like, Andrea and Josh, I would understand if they kept Fram.
Yeah.
But Jackie wouldn't be Fram anymore.
Yeah, she's just Jackie on...
Yeah. I love you, Jackie. I love you more than any eyes can see. Bobby Brown.
I want you, Jackie.
That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's just Jackie and Richard Karn's character, Patrick.
Patrick.
It's just Jackie and Patrick on IMDb for this movie.
Okay. In Air Buddies, he's listed as Patrick Fram, and I'm like, but he's not Fram.
Maybe he finds out he's, like... blood related to them.
Oh, that's weird.
That is very weird. So
I don't like it.
Talking dogs going on adventures.
Yeah. Once they stop playing sports, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Once you start putting That was Beethoven. I would say once you start putting Dean Cain in the mix,
we already have Homeward Bound, and it's called Homeward Bound, and it's great.
Yes, exactly. There was two of them.
Exactly.
So the next scene, Josh is making the finishing touches on his college packing, and Andrea comes in and laments how she'll miss him. The two have a heart-to-heart, and Josh wants to give her his room to help her feel better.
I will say, there is a lot that's corny and stupid in this movie, but it's nice that you don't necessarily apply it to Andrea.
Right.
Because Caitlin Wax is actually a pretty good actress.
Yeah, she's not bad.
Andrea is a pretty likable character. She's not really that annoying.
Yeah.
So, carry on.
Yeah. But with Josh leaving, there's also the dual abandonment for Buddy, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But, you know, she's sad, but he tells her life changes. He's going to college, and she's starting middle school. But he'll come home on breaks when he introduces a girl he's been dating for a month as his new wife or needs him and his boo thing a place to stay after he knocks her up and drops out of college.
Exactly.
And Andrea goes to bed sad.
Because she thought of both of those things.
Because she knows it's inevitable. The next morning, the family is gathering to take Josh to the bus depot, but Andrea is nowhere to be found. The family call for her. Josh goes into the house to try and find her and gives up after a minute of looking in the usual spots like the dryer.
That's one, because I didn't take any notes, but when I started like taking notes, one of my first notes in all caps was nobody looks for anybody in this movie.
No, it's true.
Because
and we'll get into a more troubling cause.
Super glaring instance of that. Yeah. But yeah, in this, it's like, where's Andrea? Oh, your child is missing. You don't know where she is. Like, well,
can you go up and look for her?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't find her. Okay, let's go. It's like, no, wait a second.
But I checked the dryer. Where else am I going to check?
Yeah, exactly. Which she was in the dryer.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. So the family as a whole assumes she'll just show up later, which is a mindset they'll revisit later.
That's
without her.
That's a troubling part about a lot of these kinds of movies.
Yeah.
Not just this one.
Yeah. And then you get those posts on Instagram where it's like, oh, we could go out and just do whatever we wanted, like, and then just come home for dinner. Our parents trusted we would. It's like, okay, like, I get that, and that's not untrue, but that's kind of the mindset here. Yeah. But, you know, that is a dangerous mindset of, oh, my kid's out doing God knows what.
They'll come home for dinner.
Yeah. Also, take a look at, you know, some of the trauma that some of those people who grew up in that time went through. And some of that may be related to that.
Look at what they're suppressing and they're projecting on other people.
Just because you post some meme on Instagram that says we didn't have to this or do this doesn't make you better than anybody
else. Good for you.
That's awesome. Times are different now. But like you said, it is revealed she was in the dryer, which I guess that is a typical hiding spot.
Don't know why she was in the dryer.
I'm sure that's a big house. There are more spots. Because, she has to shimmy her way into the dryer.
So she didn't want to see, it hurt too much to see Josh showing.
She can't deal with seeing her brother leave.
Which makes sense,
So that's just how she copes with it.
Yeah.
It's hiding in the dryer.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's another scene at the bus station where we see Josh's dopey friend for the last time. And there's an emotional moment. I think he played more of a role in the other movies.
Yeah, they were when Josh was actually the focal point.
He was like his best friend.
It was his friend. So his friend got more screen time.
Yeah.
And he was always like the doofus or whatever.
Yeah.
And his parents look like they're from the 50s just with the way they're dressed.
Yeah. But we see his dopey friend for the last time. And there's an emotional moment where mom says her goodbye, which is special if you saw the previous three movies.
Yeah, because it was just them for the longest time.
Yeah. And if not, it's just crying white people.
Yeah, exactly.
So back at the house, Buddy urges Andrea to... I keep wanting to say Andrea, because every time I've seen this name spelled like that, it's always...
Andrea.
Anybody I've ever known who's named that, it's Andrea.
Yeah. But it's not in this movie,
Steven. I know. Zip it. Back at the house, Buddy urges Andrea to hop on her bike and follow him being Buddy, and chasing down Josh's bus. The two eventually catch up, and Buddy sits in the middle of the street as he comes within moments of getting flattened by the bus.
Which, and Andrea is superhuman in this movie, because on her bike, she'll catch up with a car and a bus. Mm-hmm. Things that have motors. Even even when they're not going super fast, it's still tough on a bicycle to catch up with a car.
It's called shortcuts.
Yeah, exactly. But the shortcuts seemed a lot longer than they... It seemed like it took longer.
Let's see, there's scenic routes and there's shortcuts. Scenic routes aren't always shortcuts. They're not synonymous with one another.
Speaking of scenery, there's a few where there's a few shots where she's riding her bike and it's super gloomy outside. And I was like, I like that.
I like this. Yeah. Josh gets off and comforts gets off the bus and comforts a sobbing Andrea, gives her a proper goodbye and gives her their dad's watch,
which is a really nice moment.
It's actually kind of a sweet moment. Josh also gives Buddy a parting embrace, ending an era of 90s Disney. A tearful Andrea watches the bus that will more than likely be late to its destination off, and then the move and I worded this weird. She watches the bus off, and the movie and Buddy's well-being is her responsibility now. So now Andrea is fully the main character. Andrea is getting ready to go to school after Buddy wakes her up by jumping in bed, licking her, and rubbing his dingleberries on her pillow.
It's like, hi, Mom, get your butt out of my face.
Yeah. She runs downstairs in one outfit, isn't given full attention by Mom and Richard Karn.
She said it looked nice.
Yeah, well, she didn't mean that. No, she wasn't paying. She's paying attention to the little baby.
Everything Cynthia Stevenson says is sincere.
It's nice. It looks nice, sweetie.
I would have believed it. Been like, thank you, Mommy, and would have left.
That's why I said isn't given full attention.
But Richard Karn says it looks... Richard Karn says, did you change? So he was paying attention to something.
I'm getting there. Hold on. Isn't get full attention from Mom and Richard Karn the first time, runs back up and changes, and still is snubbed in
favor of her dumb baby bro. Well, that looks nice,
too. They don't mean that.
They're the most sincere people on earth, and I choose to not believe the contrary.
Yeah. Well, Richard Karn asked if she needs a ride, and she said she will be walking with Tammy. Thank you very much. Eat your bagel, toast. It's toast. He's eating toast. Eat your toast.
Maybe
jam.
Have a bagel too.
Eat your dry white toast, white man.
Yeah, exactly. Dry white toast is the best way to describe this town.
Their favorite food is bread, and their favorite drink is water.
They still have a gas station where someone pumps your car for you.
The good old days.
Jesus Christ.
Back in my day.
They have a sheriff. They have a sheriff in their town.
A lone sheriff who has been there probably since the town was founded in 1850.
Who is old and frail.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things he does and says are played for laughs. But also, ponders the question, can he protect anybody from anything?
Yeah. But Andrea forgets her backpack.
Yeah.
Andrea forgets her backpack. She meets up with Tammy, and the two walk to school. Andrea's still oblivious to her backpack missing, which that's a pretty glaring thing. Even if you don't have bags in it, there's a sensation on your shoulders.
Right. Exactly. That she doesn't realize her backpack is not there.
Buddy catches up to the two girls, who are trembling at the sight of their new schoolmates, and gives Andrea her backpack.
Which I can relate to that.
I get it.
Being
I
scared of your first day of middle school.
We mentioned some plights with that in the Max Keeble episode.
But they're also like, where do we go? I don't know where to go.
The girls are struggling with their first day of school, and they're unaware of where to go. So I'm guessing they do have a schedule, but they just don't know where to find.
Okay. Yeah. That makes more sense than when we initially were like,
pick a class.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have a schedule. It's like, pick a class.
Because at the picnic at the beginning, she says, I have this teacher, the one you said looked like a gopher.
Yeah.
And she makes a gopher face. They slink into their class late and are given the stink eye by their tight ass math teacher.
She said Josh had her.
Yeah, like the crippler or something.
Yeah,
like that.
But then you look at her and she looks like she's a second or third year teacher. Her age doesn't seem like Josh would have had her in middle school.
Tie her hair up and give her glasses. We can make her any age we want.
And then she says like the cliche tight ass math teacher thing, says math is fun. It's like, this isn't elementary. We've had math before. You can't trick me. It's not fun.
Some people think it's fun, but I'm not one of them.
Yeah. I don't know if fun's the word I would use.
Not to mention, Buddy doesn't know boundaries and keeps showing up at school. At lunch, one kid notices and the girls are apparently embarrassed and they kind of abruptly cut the next scene.
But it's different being embarrassed by like a parent and being embarrassed by a super prodigious golden retriever. Like, I don't know who would be embarrassed by that.
Probably maybe she's trying to find her own. Maybe it just muddies things up.
Yeah,
she's a teenager going through a lot right now.
But like, Air Bud's not her brother. Josh is her brother. So it's not like, hey, that's Josh's sister. It's like, if anything, it'd be, hey, that's Air Bud's owner. So
that's why I'm not sure what they're trying to do with this scene. That's right. Why they probably realized it and cut it abruptly.
Yeah.
So we get to Carlton. So we're back to Carlton and Professor Siles. Carlton is given the task of buying a car, so he buys some Rattletrap hoopty, and this pisses off the professor for some reason.
You didn't tell me what kind of car to buy.
Yeah, exactly. this car was $1,200. You gave me $2,000.
Yeah.
They asked for no identification at all. Go with it.
What did you expect me to get?
Yeah.
What did you expect me to pull up in? Something straight from like the dealership?
You want a paper trail?
Yeah, this is like, do you want to remain inconspicuous in this small town?
I'm buying local. It's within this trailer park.
Yeah, exactly. I just found it.
Yeah. Anyway, Andrea and Buddy are having abandonment issues with Josh being at college. Thing I mentioned.
Understandable.
Yeah. Coupled with several more instances of Andrea feeling forgotten, like a moment after school where Richard Karn cooks up some beef and his grill randomly shoots a flame as he walks inside.
To which you're like,
it would be better if they're going.
I was gonna say it feels like a Home Improvement bit with Tim the Toolman Taylor.
I think if they're going for the slapstick, it would be better if the gas propane wasn't working. So Richard Karn. There's a super tight shot on him looking confused, and he looks close in, and then the random flame shoots up in his face and burns his beard off.
Yeah.
And then a different guy is randomly in that dinner scene, and then Richard Karn shows up later.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Mom and Karn tell Andrea Josh called to say hi, and he's failing already and has already been to the hospital to get his stomach pumped.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like college.
Yeah. He's excelling already. And he thought his 13-year-old sister would like to know all of that.
Of course.
Yeah. So
why didn't you just put me on the phone with him?
Yeah.
Well, you weren't here.
Yeah, you weren't here. You were at school. But Noah, the baby, starts crying, taking her parents' attention away, and Andrea sulks off to her room.
Mm-hmm.
Back at school, Tammy and Andrea figure they should probably get involved with something at school. The girls try out several other school activities, which they're both lousy at.
Gymnastics. Cooking. That's really all. It's actually all we
band.
See. Band, yeah.
Which is this like a tryout day for
I was
all
gonna
those
say,
things?
Those are things that, at that level, they're not really like teaching you, especially band.
But it also seems like it's all on the same day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like it's like an orientation sort of tryout day or something.
Maybe not on the same day because they change outfits.
Yeah.
Throughout the course
but
of
like,
it.
But, like, at that level, band isn't just something you are like, I don't know how to play an
you
instrument.
Can try out
so
for
this
band.
Is so this is where I learn how to play an instrument.
I think the thing is you have to try out for band. You can't just
right.
get in. You can't
no,
just
no, no.
start with band.
But usually at that level, kids already know how to play instruments.
Right.
That's the thing.
But the thing is you can still try out for junior high band.
Right. But my point is they don't know how to play any instruments. So at that level, it's very difficult for you to get into band if you don't even know how to play an instrument.
How much do you need to know how to play the cymbals?
In a xylophone? I don't know. Before all of this, there's like an opening B-roll shot before we get to Tammy and Andrea of like cheerleaders surrounding each other. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're passing around ecstasy pills.
Yes.
And then there's one kid's holding a trumpet and there's a group of kids surrounding him, poking and prodding at the trumpet like they're cavemen.
Or aliens.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what is this?
Look what I found.
Yeah. It's like they found a National Geographic or something.
Yeah. But they're both, they finally settle on baseball after running into the coach after burning down the home economics room.
Yeah.
And this is a late baseball season.
Yeah.
So
the school year started.
So
it's fall semester.
Yeah. But also like it's middle of August, probably the time that school starts from the middle to late August. Baseball season starts in March.
Yeah.
Like
youth
baseball will start. Well, when you get to be older for tryouts and stuff, because youth baseball actually start in probably April or May,
right,
with all the sign up stuff,
but like middle school and high school
stuff like that, that like has tryouts,
yeah,
and extended season starts in like March or April,
right?
Either way, this is a late baseball season, so I don't know why they decided to go with baseball. I think they probably wanted to add because Josh was leaving, so they probably wanted to add, okay, let's see Josh go off to school, and then with Andrea going into middle school. But let's also make it a baseball movie.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
It's a late baseball season. Doesn't matter. And the coach is Coach Crenshaw, who's a female, which that's awesome. There's a scene where the professor, back to them, and Carlton are hunting down the other buddies and see Stryker outside of a stereotypical Italian barber shop.
Mm-hmm. So Stryker, don't they get Shooter first?
They see Stryker. Oh, they don't get him first.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's also where they see kind of they're intimidated by like the sheriff because he's getting his haircut from the Italian guy. So they see Stryker and he plays soccer. Also, all the other Air Buds and their owners have moments where you see the sports they specialize in, but then in some of them, like Duke is a firehouse dog.
Right.
So some of them aren't always playing sports. But there are these instances where you see the Buds and their owners who specialize in sports. Like you see them doing their sports, but then you see them chilling around town, like the Buds. Shooter, who's the basketball playing one, and the people he plays basketball with are always playing basketball.
It's almost like it's like a Greek punishment or something. Yeah. Like in Greek mythology, when like for eternity you have to like push this stone up a hill, but it'll always fall down.
It just seems like
they're forever in a state of playing basketball. It's like, I'm tired.
Like, you're just missing the chains and whatever. Mm-hmm. But it seems like Shooter's the burnout, and he has burnout friends. Because, like, don't you people have jobs or homes for that matter?
Yeah, exactly. They're always playing basketball.
Yeah. Andrea is trying to get people to help her practice baseball and play catch, but she is once again being snubbed by her mom, who is with the baby, and Richard Karn, who needs to go off and inseminate a horse or something.
Because he's a vet.
He's a vet.
Yeah. He's not. He doesn't have a weird fetish.
Yeah. I'm going to go inseminate a horse. Pay good money for this.
Well, be careful. Don't track it into the house.
Mommy tells Andrea to change the stinky baby, and the baby pisses on her for the chuckles, and Andrea answers a phone call. The phone rings, and
she calls Tammy.
No, the phone rings, and she's like, Mom, and like the mom comes over and takes over with Noah, and then she picks up the phone. She's like, hello? And she's like, hey, Tammy, when did you say baseball started?
What did Tammy call for?
To see if the baby pissed on her yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought the phone does ring, but it makes more sense that she picked up the phone, called Tammy, and he's like, when did you say baseball happens?
I don't know. There's a phone call that she picks up or answers or makes, whatever
doesn't
the hell.
Matter.
She talks to Tammy on the phone and says, you know, she's down a clown playing baseball.
Yeah.
The baby then tosses the ball behind him and Buddy catches it, meaning he's going to be a good at baseball too.
Yes. Foreshadowing.
But dogs know how to catch things. So
yeah, that's the thing.
All he did was jump a little higher, I guess.
I guess. And then the mom's like, did you see that?
He's like, what, the baby?
Which one?
The baby tossing the ball on a perfect strike behind him or Buddy getting up and catching it?
Yeah. Because at this point, are you really surprised if Buddy excels at anything athletic?
Yeah. Is Richard Karn in one of the Air Buddies? Did he come back as George or Frank?
Yeah,
or
I said earlier he's under the name Fram in one of the Air Buddies.
I thought you were just saying the character was under the name Fram.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's Richard Karn.
Good. What the hell else is he doing?
That's true.
So Tammy and Andrea are the only two girls at the tryout, and one player in particular makes a crack about them being in the wrong place and they should go to dance club because they're girls.
Yeah.
And apparently forgetting and having no problem that their coach is a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Heard there's tryouts for dancers in the play or whatever.
Yeah.
To which we thought he was going to say, I think I'm going to try out. Just with the way his delivery was.
It'd be funny if they just that and then they brought no more attention to it. That'd be hilarious.
The whole time. He's like, ugh, girls are going to play baseball? And yeah, meanwhile, their coach is a girl.
Yeah. Tryout's underway, and Tammy's tearing it up at the tryout, but Andrea is terrible.
Tearing it up, quote unquote.
She's doing very well. She's doing better than everybody else.
The reason I say that is because they don't convincingly look like they know how to play baseball. The mechanics and the... It just looks all wild. It looks unnatural.
Yeah.
It looks like they're trying to teach someone who doesn't know how to play, but they only had like a couple weeks. So the baseball does not look good in this movie.
well, tearing it up within the world of the story.
Yeah.
Because she's actually doing very well. So that is what I meant. I wouldn't comment on their mechanics, which are not good.
It's just in these movies, you can tell when a kid doesn't know how to play baseball.
Yeah. So overarching, she's tearing it up at the tryout.
The character is obviously the best one in the field.
Yes, Tammy, not whatever her face is. Tammy is tearing it up at the tryout, and Andrea is terrible. After tryouts, Tammy pleads Andrea's case to be on the team to the coach, but the coach is hesitant. Tammy uses the solid persuasive argument of, she's my best friend.
We're BFFs, best friends forever.
Come on, coach, does that mean anything to you? Come on, you heartless bitch, I'll kill you.
So basically,
she said that's her words, not mine.
Basically, she just came up short of saying, if she doesn't play it, I don't play.
Yeah, I'll bash her face in with an aluminum bat. That's what she's getting at.
Which, if you saw the tryout, it doesn't look like the coach needs to cut anybody, because it looks like there was just enough for a team.
Yeah.
To have all nine starters with a few reserves.
Yeah. So it looks like everybody made it.
Yeah.
But again, not that extreme. Tammy didn't call her the B word and didn't threaten to pummel her with an aluminum bat. But she says please, and the coach says we'll see tomorrow when I post the roster. Tammy does a very high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
The professor and Carlton steal Shooter, the basketball-playing buddy, and his slacker friends and burnout owner are concerned, even as far as reporting to the useless elderly sheriff.
Yeah. To which at first he's like, Sheriff, someone stole my shooter. He's like, you got a permit for that gun?
Son?
He's like, no, my dog. Oh, what's his name? Shooter. It's like, oh, here, this town's in good hands.
Yeah, this stupid who's on first routine. The next day, the ladies are pumped and they made the team. Andrea gets home and no one seems to be home as she jumps for joy and exclaims her recent success of joining the ball team.
She just says to everyone, I made the team, to which no one knows she's trying out for baseball. So it's like, oh, what team?
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess it's to be assumed, but we have no scene of her saying, I'm going to try out for the baseball team. And they're like, why? She's fucking suck.
Each time she's like, I made the team! As if there's only one team going on right now. Which apparently there is only one sport going on right now.
We, the audience, see she's trying out for baseball and she made the team. So it doesn't really matter, I guess. She screams about making the team and runs through a pane of glass.
Human wrecking ball. Fuck yeah!
What a stupid show.
God, those guys got jacked up.
They're fucking idiots. She is soon quieted by her mother, who chastises her for waking the baby. You don't wake the baby!
He just went to bed!
Exactly. But Andrea quietly says to herself... Andrea quietly says to herself... 19 as the mom goes back upstairs. But she goes outside and encounters a silly mailman who congratulates her for being on the team.
Yeah.
We see him.
See you on the ball field. He's the announcer for the games.
Yes. So the first game is upon us, and there's some joke about how the mom is terrible at singing the national anthem.
Yeah.
And the team goes on a roll because Tammy's a stud and rules ass.
There's a lot of weird side mini jokes. And, like, unnecessarily super hammy characters.
Like, there's this eccentric umpire.
Yeah, and the announcer's really hammy and stuff like that. And, like, a small mini joke like that, like, her mom can't sing. It's like, they don't come back around to that. It's just there to be there.
It's just there because it's these attempts at being silly.
Yeah.
And it's attempts at, okay, what's goofy? Oh, she sings so badly people notice and she doesn't, she bothers everybody with it. And, oh, that's funny. And then super over-exaggerated and inflated hand motions and eccentric, like... You know, mumbling things to yourself, or like, you know, being super animated. Like, that's funny, I guess. Yeah. It's people who write these movies who don't really have a grasp on writing clever comedic.
Like, our mom would probably find the announcer and the umpire funny because they're silly and they're goofy. Yeah. But I think it's stupid.
It is stupid.
And it's cringeworthy to me. And this movie was made for me.
Yes, exactly.
I am the audience for
this
movie.
We were the audience when it was made, 2002.
I would say barely. Because we were like 11. And sure, kids at that age. But still, I feel like this was made for like 7 and 8 year olds.
Well, I still say it's in that range because the main character is going into junior high, so to be relatable.
Yeah. Or else we're just the toddlers sitting there not understanding what the big deal is.
Yeah. whatever. Anyway, like I said, Tammy is a stud and rules ass. She even needlessly does a Dottie Henson split as a catcher when she catches a foul ball.
Don't reference a better movie.
Yeah, it's it. And also, all you need to do is take two more steps forward. You didn't need to do the splits.
Yeah.
But we need to continue to see how good Tammy was. And plus, they were like, oh, the actress can do the splits in catcher's gear? All right, yeah,
no, it was a male stunt double.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I noticed. during this time, we are also introduced, like we said, to an eccentric umpire and silly mailman as the silly announcer. They're both going to be continuous sources of forced comedy.
Yep.
And I had to force myself not to laugh. Not really.
because they're so funny.
Yeah. We then get a montage of a winning streak the team is on because Tammy dominates everyone single-handedly. And all the while, Andrea is riding the pine and feeling useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's unknown the timeline here or how many games are being played so far. But I guess enough for Tammy to establish herself as a force and the team to be playoff contenders.
Because when Andrea comes in, they're like, our season's over. It's like, well, it looks like you guys just won like 10 in a row.
Yeah.
So I think three losses is going to be fine for right now.
If it's the course of a couple weeks, when Andrea sees a sign that Shooter is missing, she reacts like it's the first time she's hearing about it, which with as prominent, especially with the Fran family, with the buddy, with the buddy dogs.
Yeah.
How is this the first you're hearing about
in a small town too?
Yeah. At the end of the montage, Tammy tries to encourage Andrea, but if there's anyone that can smell how much she stinks, it's Andrea herself. I almost said Stinker the dog. Stryker the dog. So Stryker, the soccer playing
Slappy
dog.
Slappy and the Stinkers.
Yes. Stryker the dog is then abducted by the villains, who I forgot to mention, they're using a raccoon named Rocky
to lure the dog.
With a set of keys to you know, lure the dog. So throw this key. They'll throw these keys out in front of where the dog is. And then Rocky the raccoon will get him, and the dog will chase the raccoon and
grabs
the
keys. And he's like, hey, man, want this car? Hey, man? Selling this car, man. Hey. Look, I got the keys right here for you, man.
Hey, dog biscuit eating breath, dog biscuit eater.
Yeah, Rocky does not talk, but I'm surprised they didn't make him talk.
It's funny if they don't get his mouth to move. They're just like, he just looks at the dog, and then you get the hey, man, telepathy.
Hey, I got something for you.
Yes. But the team's joy is halted when Tammy gets nailed in the elbow by an errant fastball. So she's out skis, which causes the coach has to make the choice to put the right fielder in at catcher and gulp Andrea in right field.
Which at this point, it's that kid that was so indignant that girls were on the team
earlier. He's their pitcher.
He's the pitcher. And he pitches in like every until Andrea starts pitching. He always has this
spoiler alert.
Oh, who cares? But he always has this pained look on his face, and probably because his arm's gonna fall off because he pitches in every single game.
I needed Tommy John surgery before my first period freshman year English class.
Yeah, exactly. And he does have this lazy sidearm delivery that, again, not gonna get too hung up on the mechanics.
Yeah,
it's something it. I think about my dad in this situation, and that he'd probably sit there and nitpick it and be like, and probably nitpick it to death and be like, there's no, you would mess your arm up. You need to learn how to throw better. To which I'd probably side eye look at him and be like, I'm going to go to my room because I don't want to be here for this. Yeah,
because you're not distinguishing that this is a kid's movie.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, now, which we should probably drop the whole mechanics thing here.
And that's why I said, I'm not bringing it up anymore because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. What does matter is Andrea's first bit of action. She competes with the pitcher for a pop-up in the infield, which if you don't know, the right field, for those of you who don't know baseball out there, positioning, the right fielder is probably the furthest from where the pitcher is.
Yeah.
Anything in the infield, an outfielder should not be going for.
To which you say, where's the second baseman? How come he's not calling for this ball? Yeah.
Not only that, the pitcher calls everybody off, which when you call somebody off in baseball, this is mine. You say, I got it. That's my ball. Nobody else should go for it. Unless you're King Griffey Jr. Snatching one from your dad, King Griffey Sr.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious.
Exactly. King Griffey Jr. can catch any ball he wants.
Exactly. So she competes with the pitcher for a pop-up in the infield. And the pitcher calls her off, but Andrea keeps going for it, much to the urging of others for her to back off.
So everyone's like,
Andrea, no!
Andrea.
Andrea, no!
Yeah.
no!
No!
But she runs into the pitcher, causing the ball to drop and causing the opposing team to score the winning run. Everybody's pissed at Andrea.
Justifiably.
Yes. Yeah. The mom tries to encourage her, but Andrea concedes that she is the drizzling shit.
Yeah.
Well, I can work on it with you. You want me to help you play catch?
It's like, Mom, I guarantee you, if there's one person in this whole damn place I'm better at baseball than, it's probably you.
It reminds me of in The Simpsons when Marge wanted to help Bart with basketball. And she's like, here comes the Shaq attack. Yeah, completely missed and hit Bart in the head.
Yep.
We then see a devastating montage of the team losing and Andrea being the foremost cause of the team's collapse.
Mm-hmm.
One player chides Tammy for telling the coach to put Andrea on the team, but Andrea happens upon the coup and rides off in a huff.
Which, I must say, if you're Andrea, I don't understand why this is so surprising that someone lobbied for you to be on this team. Because if it's me, and I know I'm bad at baseball, and I still made the team...
Which you are.
I am. No, I'm not.
I know.
I'm a good baseball player.
Okay.
But if I'm Andrea and I know I'm bad at baseball, I feel like if in my brain I'd say the only way I made this team is someone lobbied for me to be on this team, I'd be thinking, how did I make this baseball team? And then I would continue to prove to myself that I suck at baseball, which it only seems like they play games now and no one practices.
Mm-hmm.
If it's me and I continue to see that I suck, I'm like, how the hell did I make this team? I'm not good at baseball. So then when you finally see that your friend basically made the coach put you on the team, you're all of a sudden like sour about it. It's like, she should be standing there and be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Ah, there it is.
She might also be sour because like Tammy might have shown the slightest bit of agreement with the pitcher who is chastising her for it. It's like, come on,
listen, I know she sucks, but you know.
Which that should be the only reason, not right. That what? I didn't get on the team because I'm good at baseball?
I'm not the next Tony Gwynn.
What?
But yeah, so this rubs her the wrong way. All the while, Duke the dog is abducted. So another one of the little buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea is down in the dumps because she's terrible, and Josh's stuff is packed up.
Yep.
She happens upon Josh's things are packed up in his room. They're one of the big things is she doesn't want. She didn't want to take the room because she didn't want to change anything.
Yeah.
So she's like, I don't want anybody changing this room because that means you're going
to stay the same. Yeah.
I want it like Josh is still here.
Mm-hmm.
So she sees Josh's stuff is packed up, which upsets her a little bit, but she kind of walks off. She tells Buddy she wishes Josh were there to put on a wig and pretend to be her so the team can start winning again.
Yeah, like the movie Ladybugs.
Exactly. More people are going up to the useless elderly sheriff and telling him their buddies are missing. All the sheriff does is put up missing flyers.
Yeah, nobody in this town looks for anybody.
To quote Billy Madison, you get your ass out there and you find that fucking dog.
Exactly.
You just look for an hour and give up.
Yeah, you got a dog. You got a responsibility. it's true, though.
To which I commented, are these people even trying to look?
Yeah, exactly. It's annoying.
Yeah.
How diligent that they aren't.
Yes. Your lack of diligence bothers me.
Yeah, exactly.
Buddy nudges at a depressed Andrea to get up and practice. She and Buddy go to the ball field and practice fielding. Andrea pitches to Buddy, which Coach Crenshaw happens upon and sees she's not half bad at
it. Which there's a song playing something about hey team and crack the bat.
Go team, I love baseball.
It's not far off, but the chorus sounds like 18, can't wait till she's 18.
Some people watch this movie might have thought that about Caitlin Wax.
I guess so.
I wasn't one of them, so don't anybody get any ideas.
Because
also she's my age when this came out, so
I'm sure if I watched this at that time, mm-hmm. she's only 2 years older than us. So I'd be like, oh yeah, she's cute. But now me as a grown man watching someone, even though she's my age now,
she's
still weird.
Like 12
at the
13
time,
years
like 13.
Like,
yeah,
none of that goes through my head, and I don't have any of those things. It's just a funny comment on a song.
I thought it was funny. It sounds like 18, can't wait till she's 18. That's what it sounded like it was saying.
Crack of the bat. none of this makes sense. Coach Crenshaw sees she's not bad. Buddy then puts a bat in his mouth and starts hitting little bloopers, which thank you for not making Buddy hit home runs in this movie. And it's also, it's already silly enough.
Yeah, don't have him hit. There's not enough torque in that swing. He's not. He can't use his legs to power anything.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have any wrists to have a snap of the wrist.
Yeah, exactly.
So Andrea finally gets some practice and some much-needed confidence. So much so that in their next game, the pitcher who apparently has pitched every single game, mm-hmm. like Matt had mentioned so far, is finally feeling the effects. So coach takes him out in favor of Andrea on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Not without Andrea suggesting a new player on the team.
Who, per
the requirements of these movies, the Air Bud is put in the game and already has a uniform tailor-made for him.
He's already outfitted with a jersey.
And a hat and a little helmet.
And a little helmet, yeah.
You can ask yourself, like we had said at the beginning, you can ask yourself hows or whys, but just realize this is a film and a series about a dog who excels at sports. Mm. Most of the time better than the humans.
Yeah.
This is
the fourth movie in that series.
Yes. The only thing I ask is, in a town where the dogs play sports and the rules are constantly bent to include the dogs in sports, why does anyone scoff at the idea of the dog on their team?
Yeah, it's like if you're watching a Nightmare on Elm Street movie and you get to the fourth movie in the series and you're like, stop going to bed!
Stop falling asleep!
It's like, it's gonna happen.
It's just, that's the movie.
Yeah.
During a montage of success, the crowd goes wild over Buddy, who is becoming an integral part to the team's success. Andrea and some side character teammates, Cabbage Patch, and chant Go Buddy, Go Buddy. I know.
This is stupid.
Then the Cabbage Patch, look up what it is. It's a classic dance.
You know what it is. You may not know it by that name, but you know what it is.
It's circling the arms. It's circling the arms to and away from your body.
Usually followed by an oh yeah, oh yeah,
oh yeah, oh yeah.
Just the rhythm of that dance. You can't help but say oh yeah, oh yeah.
doing it quickly is very funny.
Doing it very frantically is hilarious.
that's how I celebrate. After, I skipped a part. They're going go buddy, which is the best part of the movie. Andrea also proceeds to become the team's new engine and best player. After the most recent game, which puts the team in the junior high championship, a man off screen asks if the team want free hot dogs, and everyone busts a nut over the grub and rush off to get their questionable spoils of their success.
Andrea is like Matt LeBlanc in Ed in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Obvious differences, but she like all of a sudden becomes the best player on the team.
Yeah. In that moment when everyone's running off to go meet the mysterious hot dog man, her dad's watch falls out of her bag, Andrea's bag.
You kids want free hot dogs?
Hey, kids want free hot dogs, honk, honk. They're in my van.
They're over there in the barn, boy.
When she gets home, Andrea freaks out when she sees her mom and Richard Karn are renovating Josh's room. Yes. Apparently renting it out to a baby because there is a crib in there.
But not her brother.
Yes, some other baby Herman.
Yeah, I was going to say a cigar-smoking baby like in Roger Rabbit.
Or they're just setting up a room for the family's pre-existing baby, Noah.
Yeah.
Andrea laments to her mom that if they change Josh's room, Josh disintegrates.
That's the attitude.
Yes, mom comforts Andrea by saying she misses Josh too, and just because they're changing his room doesn't mean they aren't forgetting him. So Josh gets to live one more day. One more day for him to paddle his ass in a frat house and pass out in a parking lot.
Hooray!
I miss you, buddy.
I miss my dog! He's getting paddled.
Reminds me of the scene in the Spawn cartoon.
I'm sorry,
Al! don't look it up. Also, the mom says the baby's going to be closer to them and her in that room. My question is, if the baby didn't sleep in the parents' room, which you can't be any closer than that, where did he sleep? The basement?
Exactly.
On the day of the big game, Richard Karn goes out to get the paper. And that's the Bane
scene. That's the scene.
He wasn't hit with a sprinkler or anything like that.
He opens it up and it says they're in the finals or whatever.
Yeah.
Which I thought would be funny if he'd be like, what?
Yes.
Like,
he's
unaware
happen?
This whole time. Like, huh?
While getting ready for the game, Andrea realizes she has misplaced her dad's watch and she proceeds to ride off to check the ballpark with Buddy in tow. Professor and Carlton finally find Buddy, who is the coup de grace for them, and stalk the girl and the dog. While Andrea is looking for the watch, Tammy shows up to straighten things out with Andrea,
which I feel like if it's been a course of like weeks mm-hmm. of games and maybe practices,
yeah.
they wouldn't have hashed things out already.
Yeah. Also, when Tammy's arm was in a sling, the way it was affixed in the sling bothered me because it was just kind of lazily dangling there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how are you able? You can't keep that elevated that way. Anyway, carry on.
Yes. Andrea gives Tammy Tude, but Tammy says she didn't want to play without her. Andrea softens and the two apologize and hug it out.
This doesn't help me.
I'm terrible. She's not terrible anymore. So this awakened something in her. So thank you, Tammy.
Yes.
The villain's raccoon sees Dad's watch in the dugout and Buddy sees the raccoon. Buddy chases the varmint and is promptly captured by the professor and Carlton.
When the raccoon sees the watch, they did put cartoon dollar signs in its eyes.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's say I wasn't paying attention fully because I was writing these notes.
So I could tell you anything right now. And you'd be like, huh?
Not really? Anything.
Not anything.
The girls witness this and scream their heads off. The two give chase.
Woo! Raccoon! Buddy!
Not just randomly, because they yell Buddy's name.
Oh, scream their heads off.
The two give chase to get Buddy back. Back at the field, there are announcements and acknowledgments that Andrea, Tammy, and Buddy are missing, but no one is doing anything about it.
This is my main criticism of this movie, is that the entire time, and there's other movies like this, mm-hmm. the team is losing. Like, the team starts to lose because the three best players aren't there. But, and Andrea's parents are sitting there, and they're like, they should be here by now. Or they're, like, looking around, and they're like, where are they? It's just, your kids are missing! These children are missing! And no one bothers to stop the game and be like, oh, we should probably go find these missing children and this missing dog. Instead, it's like, oh, man, when are they going to show up? I really hope they show up soon. We're losing. That's my main criticism, and that's annoying. And because it's annoying, I think it's funny that, again, nobody looks for anybody in this movie.
Yeah, and well, I mean, even before that, you get Richard Karn, like the coach talking to the umps. The umps like, you're like, coach, we got to get this game started. And the coach is like, well, I got three of my best players missing. And he's like, well, We gotta get this game going.
No, you don't.
And then Richard Karn is walking back to the bleachers, and Cynthia Stevenson's like, "You find anything yet? Can't find him yet?" He's like, "No, nothing yet." So it's like,
so you just expect them to show up.
It's like there's no fuss made over these children missing. Like, sure, Buddy is missing.
Yeah.
And that is troubling, but dogs go off randomly all the time and have adventures of different varieties.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you think Buddy ended up with all those kids?
This is very true.
However, everyone's attitude towards the girls missing is, where are they? This isn't like them.
Yeah.
They know what today is. It's our anniversary. I just wanted to throw that in there.
Tony.
Do you know what today is?
Those are like three huge red flags.
Yeah.
Like, those are three of the main questions you ask yourself that mm-hmm. force you to go look for someone.
Yeah.
Is, they're not usually like this. They know what today is. And what was the other one?
It's our anniversary. No, not that one. And they just hope, they're like, everyone's like, I hope they show up.
This isn't like them.
Yeah.
And they know what today is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe they're dead in a ditch somewhere.
Yeah, nobody is concerned beyond, oh, they're missing. This isn't good for the team's chances.
Yes, that's exactly.
That's what they're concerned about.
Yeah.
This isn't good for the team's chances. All the best players are missing. They have not shown up yet.
Yeah. What
the? Hey, if this were real life, somebody would be like, the game is halted. Every single one of you go out
there. We're starting out a search party.
And we're like, lockdown. Like, lock down the field here. Everybody divvy up into a search party and let's look for these kids.
In a comedic sense, granted, I refuse to suspend my disbelief.
Right.
Because this is ridiculous.
Yes. We as the viewers see they are okay. All the while, the girls...
It's a kids movie. They're not going to die or anything.
The girls are going to the sketchy trailer park. Buddy makes a trade with the raccoon. All the dogs are in cages in the back of the professor and Carlton's RV.
Buddy has a cat in his mouth and makes a trade with the raccoon.
Yes, exactly. Look what I got for you. You're
nice
worst enemy.
Juicy cat.
Both of us can agree this is our worst. Both of us can find common ground in our hatred for cats. Buddy makes a trade with the raccoon. The dad's watch for the set of keys. There's a set of keys next to Buddy's cage.
Yeah.
And the raccoon steals the watch, so they make a swap. Buddy opens his cage and his kids' cages. Andrea sneaks into the RV, helps push the dogs out the window to Tammy waiting outside. The villains catch on. The girls take off on their bikes, and the dogs run out in front of them while the professor and Carlton are trying to run them all down with their car. Back at the field, the team is getting smashed, and the adults still have little concern for the whereabouts of the children.
Mm-hmm.
More chase ensues, but the villains eventually end up in mud with pigs, and that's it for them.
There are several times in which Tammy and Andrea catch up to them.
Right.
Which I'm like, drive faster.
Yeah.
They're gaining on us. They shouldn't be. They're children on bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a car.
Yeah. Andrea and Tammy realize they're late for the game. Now they realize they're late for the game.
Yeah.
Which makes it, well, to their defense, their main concern was getting Buddy back.
Yeah.
But they realize they're late for the game and they're off to the field. The girls and all the dogs triumphantly show up at the field as they enter through the outfield. The only ones who race out to meet the crew are the dogs' worried owners.
Yeah.
So no parents.
Yeah.
The parents are just like, look, hey, there's your sister. Hey, there she is.
Yeah. What? So glad she's alive.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's funny that they're like, oh shoot, the game. It's like, what? Well, you're all in your uniforms.
Yeah.
So you knew the game was there. You knew what time it started. So I just think it's silly that you're like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Why am I wearing this?
Everyone else just takes the attitude with the girls of, oh, girls, where have you scamps been?
Yeah.
Now that the team's stars are back, they start to rally and close in the other team's lead. Everyone is jacked that the team is coming back, and down to the final inning, the team is still down by 4.
Oh, I want to give a shout-out to the best player on the team, Terrence with the glasses.
No.
Because he's making great plays in the field. He's got some great hits where it counts. Terrence is they mention him and you see him a few times, but a few times yesterday I was like, Terrence is the best player on the team.
Terrence is a nobody and deserves to get his glasses broken by an errant fastball.
Well,
98 miles per hour right to the mush.
Well, sorry. Sorry, Terrence.
He is a listener. Hello, Terrence. Forget what I said about taking a fastball to the face. Anyway, the coach gives a pep talk in the final inning, and Josh shows up. Zip it. The coach gives a pep talk, and Josh shows up as a surprise in a cab. He's not driving the cab.
He
dropped out and became a cab driver.
It is kind of a neat moment because he's the guy that...
Right.
He's the guy that did the sports. He was a Timberwolf, and now his sister's...
Yeah, the team is the Timberwolves.
Yeah, and he was... He's the guy that played the sports, and now, like, his sister is taking on the mantle as, like, the Timberwolf player.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. After the first two batters go down with a whimper, Buddy gets on and steals second. A double brings him home, and now it's Tammy's turn to contribute. She then randomly switches sides of the plate, and she hits a single.
To which the coach is like, what? We could have used this.
Yeah, switch hitter. Switch hitters are rare in baseball, but they're very, very important.
They're
a very
valuable tool to managers and what's the word I'm looking for?
Trouble for opposing pitchers.
Trouble, yeah, in terms of, you know, strategy.
Yeah,
switch hitters are an important tool in a manager's strategy.
Yeah, you put in a right-handed pitcher. Bat the switch hitter on the left.
Yeah.
Put in a left-handed pitcher. Okay, bat him on the right. You know, it's infuriating for opposing player or for opposing teams.
Exactly.
The pitcher then drives Tammy in with a triple, cutting the lead to 1. Andrea prepares for her at bat, and as she walks up to the plate, she sees Josh is there. She's overjoyed, which was a nice moment.
Yeah.
And then campus police shows up and puts Josh in cuffs.
There he is.
Not really. Andrea is determined to produce, but she is down to 2 strikes.
The campus police followed him there.
She takes a timeout so Josh can tell her it's okay, and then they can also slow down the footage to build suspense.
Yes.
Andrea crushes the ball to the back of the fence. The stupid outfielder randomly falls down and then fumbles with the ball.
Yeah.
Andrea is booking it around the bases.
Stupid.
The ball comes in, but Andrea slides into home plate head first, beating it out. The place erupts, and Andrea is put on the team's shoulders. Andrea wins playoff MVP, and she embraces Josh. It's a nice moment.
Yeah.
Then there's
a nice moment.
Yeah. And then there's a little lower third caption that says 9 months later, And Buddy, they get a call from Major League Baseball, and Buddy goes to the MLB not as a stunt and helps the Anaheim Angels win the World Series,
which looks like a Tuesday afternoon game.
However, later that year in 2002, the real Angels won the World Series, proving God is real.
Yeah, exactly. And we get a nice cameo by the wonderful the great Jim Houston.
Yeah, that was Air Bud's seventh inning fetch. Well, what's good about this movie? We're running a little long here.
It's an enjoyable, corny movie to just put on a Saturday afternoon if you're like, I just want to brainlessly watch something that is stupid or that is cheesy and corny, you know, straight to video. It checks all those boxes. Andrea and Tammy are not really annoying, like, where it could easily, like, those characters could be really annoying. They're not really annoying. It's always nice to see Richard Karn, and it's nice to I pointed out the fact that it was nice that Kevin Zegers, that's who played Josh, was almost always the exact age of Josh at the time he was playing him in the different movies. It's a small thing, and who cares really? But I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. That, like, the actual Kevin Zegers is probably going off to college at this point. And there was some nice early 2000s fashion in there as well,
which we have a lot of appreciation for.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of long sleeve shirts with cargo shorts, and like 3/4 sleeve baseball shirts with cargo shorts, and like frosted tips and silver sunglasses and stuff. Yes. So
a great affection for the early 2000s. Yes. Much like we have a great affection for all of you. Thank you for listening, and until the next time,
the house lights are up, the film's off the reel. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. We'll see you next time.